Kamachakravarti, Kamban, has an exceptionally heightened awareness of the beautiful, and he communicates his perceptions in the pure perfection of poetry. The perennial charm of Kamban is that he immerses us in an atmosphere of beauty, a beauty not reserved for some special occasion, sentiment, or character, but a beauty which permeates the whole common world of men, women, and nature. And it has an incomparable freshness and is endowed with an inner glow. This is evidently due to his profound sympathy for everything, animate and inanimate, and to his capacity for feeling into every object that he perceives. Not only that, he has a genius for selecting the significant and eliminating the insignificant, and of communicating his intuitions in language that arrests and captivates the attention of the reader. There is a scene in which Kamban paints a word picture of the girls that throng to have a look at Rama as he goes in a chariot through the streets of Ayodhya to the palace of Dasaratha. Some girls look at him, standing close to the pillars at their thresholds. Others look at him from bushy bowers, half hidden by creepers. Yet others look at him from open courtyards and through windows. Their looks express different moods. Dazed looks, admiring amorous looks, longing languorous looks. Some eyes look ferociously fascinating, like long spears. And some others are crimson, like blood-stained daggers. And yet others are like darting fish or flitting bees. The faces of these girls are like lotus blossoms, fresh and fair. Kamban focuses his camera upon these eyes that speak and faces that bloom. He says, in the long pillared portals, in the bowers where creepers unfurl their leaves, and in the moonlit courtyards, long spears sparkle with bloodshot daggers. Flashing fish mingle with flitting bees and swoon. And even in the casement windows, the lotus flowers are in bloom. I repeat, in the long pillared portals, in the bowers where creepers unfurl their leaves, and in the moonlit courtyards, long spears, that is eyes, long spears sparkle with bloodshot daggers. Flashing fish, eyes again, flashing fish mingle with flitting bees and swoon. And even in the casement windows, the lotus flowers are in bloom. This poem is marked by a rare rococo charm, with its delicacy of color and freedom of brushwork, and the gay magic it weaves out of women's eyes and faces. Let us now hear the song in the original. Nilazhuthodar vayirum, குழையோடு நெகிழ்ந்த அழகத்திலை அறவிய களத்தினும் அழந்த வாழ் அழந்த வாழ் தைஸ் ஆர் மெஷரிங் ஸ்டேஜ் ஃப்ரம் ஒன் ஹொரைசன் டு அனதர் அழந்த வாழ் அறத்த வேல் வந்தொடு கெண்டைகள் மயங்க சாளரத்தினும் புத்த தாமரை மலர்கள் நீர் எழுத்தொடர் வாயினும் குறையொடு நெகிழ்ந்த ஆலகத்திடை அறமிய தளத்தினும் அளந்த வாழத்தவேல் வண்டொடு கெண்டைகள் மயங்க சாளரத்தினும் புத்தன தாமரை மலர்கள் There is another scene laid in Mithila before Rama's wedding with Sita. A procession round the city is arranged for Rama. The maids of Mithila rush into the streets to watch the procession. They gambol like deer and sail around like peacocks. Their eyes twinkling like stars and their slender waists quivering like lightning. As Rama's chariot moves on, the girls rush through parks and flower gardens to overtake the chariot. Kamban is struck with their agility and says that their spirited movement has the dynamics of water rushing animatedly down a deep depression. The load of flowers on their heads gives them a momentum, and their delicate waists feel the strain of the load. They run fast, as if in hot pursuit of their own minds, which have sped far ahead of them in search of Rama. Note this wonderful metaphor. They run fast, as if in hard pursuit of their own minds, which have sped far ahead of them in search of Rama. They come in time to see the enchanting figure of Rama seated in his chariot. They are utterly absorbed in his charms, and Kamban perceives and suggests that their absorption has a mystical undertone. Those who gazed at his shoulders kept gazing at his shoulders. Those who gazed at his lotus feet kept gazing at his feet. Those who gazed at his mighty arms did likewise. Which is the girl that could unhinge her gaze and drink in his total form? They were verily like the differing fates, each catching but a glimpse of his form. Read again. Those who gazed at his shoulders kept gazing at his shoulders. Those who gazed at his lotus feet kept gazing at his feet. Those who gazed at his mighty arms did likewise. Which is the girl that could unhinge her gaze and drink in his total form? They were verily like the differing fates, each catching but a glimpse of his form. How true and modern is the verdict of Kamban on the limitations of the established faith. The procession ends in front of the wedding hall, in which Vasishtha and Vishwamitra are waiting. Blue-hued Rama wears a garland of dazzling diamonds around his neck, and the garland swings to and fro as he prostrates himself before the rishis and throws off flashes of light upon his blue skin. The contrast of colors fascinates the poet, who says, Rama is like a seasonal blue cloud gently settling down at the feet of the deities. A cloud which is coruscating with lightning. By exploiting color words and vivid imagery and the littlest of significant details, Kamban produces not a still photograph, not a motion picture, not even a technicolor film, but a three-dimensional drama staged right in front of us. This is the result of what Sri Aurobindo would call the inspired style. According to Sri Aurobindo, there is something superior even to the inspired style, and it is the style of supreme inevitability, which produces pulsing, palpable life itself, catching us up in multifarious, incalculable patterns. In fact, Kamban at his height touches the supremely inevitable and produces convincingly perfect utterance. In Kamban's epic, we find the physiological effects of sounds and colors most adroitly exploited. When the drums beat and the trumpets blare and the doors slam suddenly, our hearts beat more quickly and we breathe faster. We thus find that sounds affect the human organism in a striking way, that great emotional effects are produced by sounds. Colors also have distinct physiological effects. Some colors cheer us up and some others depress us. Further, we associate certain colors and sounds with certain occasions. Weird, bizarre, mournful. Thus, both by reason of their intrinsic nature and by association of ideas, sounds and colors become expressive. In some subtle way, Kamban gives sounds and colors an exquisitely aesthetic expressiveness. Here is an illustration. After catching a glimpse of Sita, Rama falls head over heels in love with her. He had never before been smitten with love. It is a new experience which overwhelms his whole being. In the palace of Janaka, Rama is allotted a bed in the balcony. He is all alone there. As he is musing over Sita, darkness closes in, adding poignancy to his musings. His condition is aggravated by the appearance of the rising moon. Is he alone? No, says Kamban. Solitude, darkness, the moon, his own tormenting self, and his Sita keep him company. In the company of these tormenting thoughts, Rama spends most of the interminable seeming night and ultimately falls asleep. Kamban, who unlike Valmiki depicts Rama as the embodiment of God, is moved by the human agony that afflicts Rama. The love-torn Rama and his anguish inspire Kamban to point out to us the condescending grace of God, who, out of compassion for man, comes down upon earth, imprisons himself in time and space, and subjects himself to agony in order to redeem man. The poet sings of the waking up of Rama at dawn in words of untranslatable charm. The setting sun, riding in his chariot, born on wheels of light, dipped and bathed himself in the western sea, and rose, refreshed and cool, in the eastern sky. And with his tender arms of light, touched the feet of Rama, and stirred him out of sleep. And Rama reached the shore of that endless agonizing night, the joyous one who might have slept in the sea of infinity on his native couch of a thousand dazzling lights, chose instead to turn and rise in pain on this constricting couch of space and time. As one reads this magnificent poem in the original, one feels the rush of sound of a myriad oceans. And here is the original. Sullolit paravayudai, vemmai poi, kanmayura, toindu elundu, illolit thiriravi, irangarattal adivarudi, anandal thirpa, alloik kaihanda. ஆயிரவாய் மணி விளக்கம் அழலும் சேர்க்கை, அதாவது ஆதிசேஷன், ஆயிரவாய் மணி விளக்கம் அழலும் சேர்க்கை, துளாழி துயிலாதே துயராழி இடை கிடந்து துயிலுவான்றே. காட்ஸ் இன்ஃபினிட் ஃப்ரீடம் இன் ஹிஸ் அன்கண்டிஷன்டு சி ஆஃப் இன்ஃபினிட்டி ஆன் ஹிஸ் நேட்டிவ் கவுச் of a thousand dazzling lights is described in words which of sounds and colors suggesting the dazzling splendor and exuberance of the freedom of infinity, while the lovesickness of the embodied God who is imprisoned in time and space is narrated with words, sounds and colors that suggest the intensities of mortal sorrow and pain. The poem has been suffused with such inspired music that the resulting rhythm haunts, and the haunted reader finds himself slipping out of the prison of cause and effect. In certain other poems of Kamban, he aesthetically fuses his words with their meanings. Learning of Rama's exile after his return to Ayodhya, Bharata resolves to go to the forest and bring back Rama and enthrone it. He takes Satrughna and the dowager queens, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi, into the forest, where they meet Guha and receive from him a demonstration of his spontaneous love and devotion for Rama. Guha carries the royal family in a boat across the Ganges. And on the boat, Bharata introduces Guha to Kausalya. At once, Guha falls at her feet and sobs. As Guha weeps, the eyes of Bharata and Satrughna become wet with tears. Kausalya comforts them all in a song which breathes the very spirit of serene benediction and defies the translator's art. I shall give my translation first, only to show by contrast how supreme is the original. Grieve you not, my sons, grieve no more. It is well indeed that the warriors of truth renounced the realm and came to the wilderness. Befriend this mighty warrior who stands like a heroic elephant with a trunk as strong as a hill, and befriending him, may the five of you become in one. Govern this earth for many and many a year. In the mellowness of her grief, Kausalya's mother heart embraces the lowly hunter as one of her own blue-blooded sons. There is in this song a certain epic nobility of thought, which lifts the reader above human pettiness. As we read the song in the original, the air becomes vibrant with a thousand angelic wings, which waft a balmy breeze over the bruised heart of man. Nair Alir, Maindir, Nair Alir, Maindir, Inithuera, Nadurandu, Kadu Nokki, Maindir Payarandaduvum, Nalamayitra Mandri, Nalangal Tintol, Kaivira Kadiranaya, Kalaivan Tanodum, Kalandu, Neither Ayirum Urirai Akaridate Nedungalam Alitir and I. Kamban's variety of musical accomplishment is prodigious. In fact, he works in larger musical units than any other Tamil or English poet. In this stanza, which consists of four lines, each line comprises 19 or 20 syllables. To be able to control so many syllables and words at once is a sure sign of exceptional mastery. And to be able to arrange them in such a musical order as to set them to a key appropriate to the relevant emotion is the most conclusive evidence of his supremacy in poetry. Beethoven said once that Goethe was in B major. Likewise, everything and everybody seem to present themselves to Kamban in a certain key. And Kamban communicates them in a key most appropriate to them by resorting to musical phrases and rhythmical devices which produce the intended impression on a sensitive and penetrating reader. The question, what do we mean by Kamban's aesthetic greatness, can be answered by the counter question, what do we mean when we say that Shakespeare's King Lear is greater than his As You Like It? The values expressed by Shakespeare in the form of play are certainly greater than those expressed in the latter. In King Lear, the spectacles of human love, mortality, courage, romance, and religious experience are presented as spectacles which go to the roots of our being and profoundly transform us. In Kamban's Ramayana, a stupendous range and variety of human experience is aesthetically organized, and a series of significances are merged into one harmonious significance, so that the reader experiences the interrelatedness of the whole world, the whole universe, and realizes that he is in the presence of great poetry. The totality of Kamban's inclusiveness naturally includes not only the mystical, the religious, and the tragic, and the profound, but also the comical, the slight, the whimsical, and the bizarre, each in its proper proportion and relevant place. To illustrate the dramatic aspects of Kamban, I shall take up a particular situation in the epic. and contrast its treatment by the great world poet Valmiki with that of Kavitya Kravarti Kamba. After Kaikeyi extorted the two boons from Dasaratha in the bedchamber, Dasaratha falls into a stupor. Kaikeyi, however, is filled with a sense of fulfillment, and she summons Rama and tells him, "The king has ordered that your brother Bharata shall rule his kingdom, and you should go out into the jungle and return in 14 years. Valmiki Rama is shocked by this command and laments repeatedly that the wickedness of Kaikeyi has given him endless pain and suffering. But Kamban's Rama is cast in a different mold. He rejoices at this command, and the poet says that Rama's face, which before receiving the command resembled the lotus in freshness and charm, outshone the freshly blown lotus after hearing the command. Rama tells Kaikeyi, "Were it not the king's command, but yours, would I disobey it? Is not the wealth conferred on my younger brother the wealth conferred upon me? I can think of no greater fortune than carrying out your command. This very moment I take leave of you and set out for the forest." Kamban's Rama knew that his father was in the inner chamber, but he did not go in to take leave of him. He offered his salutations in the direction of his father, and after prostrating himself at the feet of Kaikeyi again, he left for the palace of his mother, Kausalya. On the contrary, Valmiki Rama, before leaving for the forest, seeks an interview with Dasaratha, who, after summoning his 60,000 wives to his presence, calls Rama in and tells him, "I have been defrauded by Kaikeyi to grant those two boons. You must therefore ignore my command and become king of Ayodhya." This statement compromises with the concept of Dasaratha as an uncompromising champion of truth, and provokes Valmiki's Rama to preach a long homily to his own father and ask him not to dissuade him from breaking his pledged word. Kamban cuts out this awkward confrontation scene for sound artistic reasons. Firstly, the pathos of separation would be more dramatic and intense if Rama went into the wilderness without taking leave of his grief-stricken father. Secondly, Dasaratha's love for Rama and love for truth are so lofty that the tonality of either will be impaired by overstringing the other. The numerous situations in the epic are thus altered and dramatized by Kamban with a keen sensibility of an aesthetic film director. The interrelatedness of things is brought out by Kamban by means of subtle and startling similes. Here is a description of Rama's killing of the giantess Tanajat. Kamban says that the arrow shot by Rama was as sharp and hot as an unkind word. And the arrow pierced the chest and shot past her heart like good counsel given by the virtuous to the wicked. Here is another simile. Surpanaha, after her mutilation by Lakshmana, bursts into the city of Lanka. Kamban says the dark-eyed giantesses of that boundless city were shocked as they saw the sister of his imperial majesty in this mutilated form. They wrung their hands and stared in awe They ran helter skelter, uttering words which, like incoherent pieces of clotted milk, floated disconnectedly. Words thrown out of syntax have a striking similarity to the isolated clots floating in coagulated milk. There is something fantastically original about a poet who can perceive this little noticed similarity. As for the lyrical treatment of Kamban, it is also aesthetically edifying and convincing. After the death of Wali, his bereaved wife Tara becomes inconsolable. Kamban uses words of austere intensity to bring out her great grief. In her lamentation, Tara resorts to a piece of devastating logic to shatter the delusion that she and Wali had been dwelling in the hearts of each other. Here is a song of lamentation. O Lord of battle-happy shoulders, were I a dweller of your heart, the arrow that pierced it ought to have sucked my life too. And were you a dweller of my heart, you ought to be alive. Neither has lived truly in the heart of the other. Even while propounding his philosophic values, Kamban suffuses them with his aesthetics. Throughout the epic, Kamban speaks with the assurance and self-surrender of one who has discovered the controlling center of life. Take for instance the Hiranyavadai Padala, in which he creates an intensely original dramatic situation. In this scene, Brahma, the creative aspect of God, confronts Vishnu, the ultimate reality, and conducts a cosmic dialogue with him. At the invocation of Prahlada, the son of Hiranya, God breaks asunder the shell of the matter cosmos, and after shattering the roof of the cosmos, descends to the earth in human form with a lion's head before the unbelieving Hiranya, and red in tooth and claw, destroys it. As Narasimha, man-lion, is roaring in infinite fury, Kamban, with a sense of exquisite artistry and humor, introduces Brahma into the scene in an attempt to appease the Lion of Heaven. In accents of great devotion, not unmixed with loving irony, Brahma exclaims, "By precipitating thyself in this form, O Lord of Lords, thou hast proved that thou must have created thyself. But by indulging in this act of self-creation, my Lord, hast thou not encroached upon my jurisdiction and settest not thy purpose in creating me for creating the multitudinous forms?" There is more devotion than logic in the mock complaint of Brahma that the sovereign who has power to delegate his jurisdiction has no power to trench upon it. But there is truth in the following charge that Brahma levels against his principle. The myriad stars and planets linger in thy primordial substance like the unlingering bubbles in the Arctic sea. Pralayaragodi andam parikadalul nillada mukkurana nirkumal ninnudaye. The myriad stars and planets linger in thy primordial substance like the unlingering bubbles in the Arctic sea. Thou art the myriad forms, but alas, by assuming this singular form, hast thou not needlessly imposed a narrowing constraint upon thine infinite plurality, after demonstrating the incongruity between the infinity of God and the unflattering finitude of its manifestation, Brahma brings out the paradox between God's immanence and God's transcendence in the following words. I have no existence outside thee. Without thy grace, I can create neither life nor matter. I can exist neither before nor after. I am like a goldsmith, born inside thine golden substance, shaping that substance with thy grace. Ponule ponriyador, porkollan porhindre. Thus does Kamban argue metaphysics with his maker in a series of poems which, in the amplitude and boldness of their vision, in the sweep of their reverential humor and pathos, and in the overwhelming splendor of their poetry and dramatic power, can equal the best in the literatures of the world. It is difficult to find in the world's epics a situation and a passage which has such metaphysical and aesthetic profundity. Such indeed is the utter of Kamban's aesthetics, that by common consent of the Tamils, Kamban has been acclaimed as the emperor of Tamil poesy. In fact, Kamban has strong claims to be considered the emperor of world poesy.
தமிழை பெருமைகள் பேசிக் கொள்ளலாம், ஆனால் தமிழை நன்றாக கற்காதவர்கள், தமிழ் கற்றிருந்தாலும் தமிழ் பேச்சில் புரிய முடியாத வேற்று மொழிக்காரர்களுக்காக, அவர்களுடைய நன்மைக்காக கம்பனை உலக மகாசனிகளுடைய ஒரு கூட்டத்திலே சேர்க்க வேண்டும் என்ற பேராசையினாலே நான் ஆங்கிலத்திலே பேசும்படி என்னை அனுமதிக்கும்படியாக இந்த சபையோரை வேண்டிக் கொள்கிறேன். மன்னிப்பும் கேட்டுக்கொள்கிறேன். நான் எப்பொழுதுமே தமிழன் தமிழனோடு பேசுகிற பொழுது ஏதோ இன்னொருவனுடைய மொழியிலே பேசுவது இழிவான காரியம் என்பதற்கு ரவீந்திரநாத் தகவல் சொல்லுவதை சொல்லுவேன். அதாவது நமது அந்தரங்க கருத்துகளையும் நமது அந்தரங்க உணர்ச்சிகளையும் அந்நிய மொழியிலே பேசுவது எப்படி என்றால், நம்முடைய புன்முருகனை நம்முடைய காதலிக்கு நாமே சமர்ப்பணம் செய்யாமல் ஒரு வக்கீலுக்கு வக்காலத்து கொடுத்து சீர் அப்புசாமி அவர்கள் பெரிய என்ன காட்டி அழகாக காதலை சொல்லக்கூடியவர்கள், அவர்கள் வக்கீல் அவர்களுக்கு ஒரு வக்காலத்து கொடுத்து என்னுடைய சாதனை இடத்திலே போய் என்னுடைய துன்முருவலை சமர்ப்பியுங்கள் என்று சொல்வதை ஒக்கும் என்று சொன்னால், நீர்த்தம் பாஷையில நம்முடைய அந்தரங்க கருத்துக்களை பேசுவது அவ்வளவு தவறு என்று அதை உணர்ந்திருந்தும் இங்கு மேல்நாட்டு அறிஞர்கள் வந்திருப்பதால் அவர்களுக்கு கம்பனுடைய பெருமையை தெரிவிக்க வேண்டும் என்ற ஆசையினால் நான் இவ்வாறு பேச ஆரம்பிக்கிறேன். கவி சக்கரவர்த்தி கம்பன் heightened awareness of the beautiful. And he communicates his perception in the pure perfection of art. The perennial charm of Kamban is that he immerses us in an atmosphere of beauty. The beauty not reserved for some special occasion, for some special sentiment, or for some special character, but the beauty which permeates the whole common world of men, women, and nature. And it has an incomparable freshness and is endowed with an inner glow. This is what it will do to his profound sympathy for everything. Inanimate and animate. That's when we are going to be able to do it. அவருக்கு பேரிரக்கம் சிறந்த பருவம் இருந்த காரணத்தினாலே அவன் இவ்வளவு பெரிய கதையை எழுதப்படுகிறது. நான் இந்த தேவ எனக்கு பார்த்துட்டு பரிசீலம் இருக்கு. ஒரு பொருளை பார்த்தானால் அவன் தன்னை மறந்து அதற்குள்ளே புகுந்து விடுவான். அதோட ஆன்மா என்ன என்பதை அவன் உணர்வான். அது உணர்ந்து சொல்லும் சக்தி வல்லமை அவனிடத்தில் இருந்தது. நான் சொல்லிட்டீனியஸ் பர் செலக்டிங் த சிக்னிபிகன்ட் அண்ட் எலிமினேட்டிங் த இன்சிக்னிபிகன்ட் அண்ட் ஆஃப் கம்யூனிகேட்டிங் இஸ் இன்க்ளூசன் இன் லாங்குவேஜ் தட் அரெஸ்ட் அண்ட் கேப்டிவேட் யுவர் அட்டென்ஷன் ஆஃப் த லீடர். அது நிறுத்திவிடுவான் மூச்சை. அதாவது நாம சீட்டுக்கு பேர் விளையாடி கொண்டிருக்கிற போது ஒரு கம்பன் பாட்டை படித்தால் இந்த உலகமே மறந்துவிடும். நம்முடைய கவனம் முழுவதையும் கவரக்கூடிய சக்தி ஆற்றல் பேராற்றல் அவரிடத்தில் இருந்தது. வேறு சக்தி என்னை கம்பன் பெயிண்ட் த வேர்ல்ட் பிக்சர் ஆஃப் த பேரண்ட். அப்புறம் எடுத்து எனக்கு கொட்டாவை விட்டால் கூட நான் உட்கார்ந்துடுவேன். There is a scene in which someone paints a bird picture of the girl that trying to have a look at Rama as he goes in a chariot through the streets of Ayodhya to the palace of Dasharatha. Some girls look in, standing close to the pillars of their threshold. Others look at him from bushy bowers, half hidden by creepers. Yet others look at him from open courtyard and through windows. They look just as different men. They look admiring hammer's look, longing langer's look. Some eyes look ferociously fascinating. அந்த கண்ணை பார்த்தால அது ஒரு பயம் உண்டாகுதான், அதே சமயத்தில் ஒரு கவர்ச்சி இருக்கான். Some eyes look ferociously fascinating, like long spears, and some others are crimson, like blood-stained daggers, and yet others are like darting fish or drifting bees. Someone, the faces of these girls are like lotus blossoms, fresh and fair. Someone focuses his camera upon the eyes that speak and faces that bloom. In the long pillared portals, in the bowers where creepers uncurl their leaves, and in the moonlit quarters, long spears sparkle with bloodshot daggers. Flashing fish mingle with flitting bees and swoon, and even in the casement windows, the lotus flowers are in bloom. Chalaratinam putta kama palagi. And the mohangal janir vajya padra kama palagi. And the kama palagi kutamayir kuwa. Nile edit todar svayinam. Nile the silas nannu kutu bakhtirad. Kuedu nagirinda agatidai aramiya tanatiram. And the moonlit courtyard நல்ல பூவா சென்ன வர்ற போது அதுக்கு முற்றம் இருக்கும், முழா முற்றம் அங்கிருந்து பார்க்கிறாரு. அந்த வாழ் அந்த வாழ் இருக்க தன்மை அது அழைக்கிறதுக்காகவே வச்ச வாழாது. பெண்களுடைய கண் எத்தனை உள்ளங்களை அழைக்காது. அந்த வாழ் ரத்தவேல் வந்தோடு செண்டைகள் மயங்க எல்லாம் கண்டே பற்றி சொல்லலாம். அந்த வாழ் அரத்த வேல் ரத்தம் கொண்ட வேல் செங்கல்களில் மயங்கத்திரம் புத்தன தாமரை மலர். என்ன ஒன்றப்படிதான் பேச்சுவர் எழுதலர் தெழுதல. ஏன்னா பல மொழிகளை பென்சில பென்சப்படுத்திருக்கேன். பென்சில மல்லாருமே பெரிய கணிகர்கள் எழுதல. சரி கணவர்த்தி இல்லை என் சித்தலா பிபோர் ராமாஜி பட்டி எச்சிதான். The procession round the city is arranged for Rama. The maids of Mithila rush into the streets to watch the procession. They dangle like deer. They sail around like peacocks. And the thunder was glittering like lightning. As Rama's chariot moved on, the girls rushed through tops and fair gardens to overtake the chariot. Kamban struck with their agility and says that the movement has the dynamics of water rushing animatedly down a deep depression. Kalyatra Bhairava Tanni, and Unakuvera Bhairava. அது மாதிரி இவர் பயிராரு அந்த கயத்தில் the load of land on the head gives them the momentum and the delicate weight அந்த எடையெல்லாம் தாங்கலையா அந்த புஷ்பகாரத்தை எப்படி வருகிறாரு அது சொன்ன பர்சூ of their own mind which has set all of them in such a drama அவங்களை பார்க்கறதுக்காக அவருடைய உள்ளங்கள்லாம் முன்னாலே ஓடிட்டா இவரை அதை குறைச்சிட்டு வர்ற மாதிரி ஓடுகிறாரு என்ன ஓமை பாருங்க இதெல்லாம் இதெல்லாம் ஒருத்தனால நினைக்க முடியாத ஓமைகள் என்ன அவருடைய தேர் அழகில் அப்படியே லைட் கிடைக்கிறார்கள் பெண்கள் and suggests that their absorption has a mystical undertone. Samadhi nalam kondu vidra avanga alagala adhe thanne mai marandu irka pengalude nala oru samadhi nalayila irukkira maari kondu vidra god who cares at his shoulders kept gazing at his shoulders god who cares at his lotus feet kept gazing at his feet Those who gaze at his mighty arms did likewise. Who is the guy that could unhinge her gaze and drink in his total form? Moodu, moodu, vadi vayagi avagil. Athriya parisa pudiyarillai. Vera zarini, ii salna, or ati atikya. Adani sammanna, or adakil nikira pada, shengala kaala chanil enkara shengala uri vittra. Vera rohasa kutu vullo. Eppidi urundan avagil nala? They were very like the differing things, commanders, each catching but a glimpse of his form. How true and modern is the verdict of Kamban and the limitations of the established faith. The profession ends in front of a wedding hall in which Vasishtha and Vishwamitra are waiting. Blue-hued Rama wears a garland of dazzling diamonds. என்ன அழகா இருக்கும் நீல நிறத்துல வைர நட்சத்திரம் போட்டு வர்றாங்க around his neck and the garland swings to and fro as he prostrates himself before the rishi and throws a flash of light upon his blue skin. The contrast of colors fascinates the poet. அதாவது நீல நிறம் உடம்பு அந்த டயமண்ட் அடிக்கிற கால் அடிக்கிற நிறம் அது வெள்ள வெள்ளு அடிக்குது இது ரெண்டு கான்ட்ராஸ்டர் பார்க்கிறான் முரண்பாங்க இந்த கான்ட்ராஸ்டர் ராமா இஸ் லைக் அ சீசனல் ப்ளூ கிளவுட் ஜென்ட்லி செட்டிங் டவுன் அட் த ஃபீட் ஆஃப் த ரிஷி எ க்ளவுட் விச் இஸ் குரு ஸ்கேட்டிங் வித் லைட்னிங் எப்படி இருக்கு பார்த்தீங்களா அதாவது ஒரு நீர தேகம் அங்க ஒரு மின்னல் அடிச்சது அது நல்ல இறங்கி அந்த ரிஷிகளோட பாகத்துல வந்து அப்படி செட்டில் பண்ண மாதிரி இருந்தான் ராமன் அவருடைய நமஸ்கரிக்கிற போது பை எக்ஸ்போசிங் கலர் வேர்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் விசிங் இமேஜஸ் அண்ட் த லிட்ரஸ் ஆஃப் சிக்னிபிகண்ட் டீடைல்ஸ் கம்பன் ப்ரொடியூசர் நாட் அ ஸ்டீல் போட்டோகிராஃப் நாட் அ மோஷன் பிக்சர் Not even a petty color film, but a three-dimensional drama staged right in front of us. This is the result of our work, Sri Aurobindo called the Inspired Style. According to Sri Aurobindo, there is something superior even to the Inspired Style, and it is the style of supreme inevitability, which produces pulsing, palpable, life itself, catching it up in its multifarious, incalculable patterns. In fact, symptomaticity touches the supremely inevitable and produces convincingly perfect utterance. In symptomaticity, we find the physiological effects of sounds and colors most adroitly exploited. When the tongues beat and the trumpets blare and the doors slam suddenly, our hearts beat more quickly and we breathe faster. Between the Dharavadaka, our Siddhikara, we must find that sounds affect the human organism in a striking way and generate emotional effects are produced by sound. Colors also have distinct physiological effects. Some colors cheer us up and some others depress us. By reason of their intrinsic nature and by association of ideas, sounds and colors become expressive by themselves. They have such an effect on mosquitoes. In some certain way, Kamban gives sounds and colors an exclusively aesthetic expressiveness. There is an illustration. After catching a glimpse of Sita, Rama falls head over heels in love with her. He has never before been smitten with love. It is now a new experience. His world binds his whole being. In the palace of Kanaka, Rama is allotted a bed in the balcony. He is all alone there. As he is musing over Sita, darkness closes in, adding poignancy to his musings. His condition is aggravated by the appearance of the rising moon. Is he alone? No, says someone. Rama spends most of an interminable seeming night and ultimately falls asleep. Someone who, unlike Valmiki, worships Rama as the embodiment of God is moved by the human agony that afflicts Rama. Adala, Kadai Manusha Adala, Mahanurat Kattai Kangi, Ippadi Chagala Durukattu, Ippadi Yagala Amadi Padirane, Yandu, Kammanutte Ramanutte Yaratta. The love-torn Rama and his anguish inspire Kamban to point out to us the condescending grace of God who out of compassion for man comes down upon the earth, imprisons himself in time and space, kaalam idam endra sirayile avan arappittukondu enna vanugiran, subject himself to agony in order to redeem man. மனிதனை காப்பாற்றுவதற்காக காலம் என்ற சிறைக்குள்ளே இறைவன் எல்லையற்ற தோன்றவுடைய இறைவனாவன் தன்னை சிறைக்குள்ளே அடைத்துக் கொண்டு மனித துன்பங்களை அடைந்து மனிதனை காப்பாற்றுவதற்காக அவன் அவதாரம் எடுத்தான். எந்த ஒரு கருத்தை அப்படி சொல்லுகிறான். இதை நான் முடிவெடுத்திருக்கேன். Let us all know what they say. Give him my own. Let God do that. And our America setting up. I am coming back to her. She says, I am your careful vector. I am particular. Yes, boy, Lutus. And tell me, I am. Is a higher actor of Madam Good Ella. There is a very good. More of the culture, come and tell you, but you have. I was so mad in love. You don't say, I am here. I am here. She is a queen. What all the world's death of fight have attempted to see. Namely, the heating of the abstract and the concrete. It has a man who left the Mahatanyarela, known to change his story, I guess, send them to the Mahatari Tirka. I remember that the Mahatari, many of the white people, the Sethi, Mundus, the Sethi, were still around the same way. Somebody, then there, Mandela, in the body of the bottle, more of the bottle. Let God lead us. The party is Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu is the English of the Tamil Nadu. The setting sun, Surya of the Vaikumiya. The Namakarajari, the setting sun, riding in his chariot, going on fields of right. And birthed himself in the Western series, where I shall not be a Kurita. I shall not be a Kurita. I shall not be a Kurita. And all, rest and cool in the eastern sky, and with his tender arms of light, will he the feet of Rama and stand him out of sleep. And Rama, this magnificent fire in the water will feel the rushing storm of a myriad ocean. And here is the word. Sallaadi Taravayidai, Kadal Marva. Sallaadi Taravayidai, Venmai Poi, Venmai Vaya, Kainzi, Yayanda, Sallaadi Taravayidai. With wheels of light, Yayama Vaya, Uli Katangravadaya, Tavilevadaya, Surya Nagaran, Yellavadi Tehriravi, Yerangarata Adivari, Arandavil Tirpra, Ramanuda Adivari, and a Tuta the Tirtha Lada Kuriran, Arandan Anati, Allavadi Kahihanda, Yerta Gauta Adi Guru, Guru Bhagavan, and Sula Nati, Ah, and Bahadi, and the Tao. Allahi, you to come to the Karatana, Allahi Karatana. Yeah, I am a election. I am in the section. I am in the particular. Then you will have my own particular. Thank you, my character. Over a time and time, I am a million watts. I am a wonder. I am a election. I am in the section of the particular.
You are a good one.
God's infinite sphere, in his unconditioned sea of infinity, are his lighting clouds of a thousand dazzling lights, is described in words which are sounds and colors suggesting the dazzling splendor and the exuberance of the freedom of infinity. For the love of the Lord, the embodied God, who is present in time and space is narrated with words, sounds, and colors that suggest the intensity of mortal sorrow, human sorrow, and pain. Japan has been suffused with such inspired music that the resulting rhythm haunts, and the haunted leader finds himself slipping out of the prison of God and heaven. Karana Karya, when they were sending it to us, they had to come across. I will end it, someone will take it away. With the middle of the day. In such an eloquence, or someone aesthetically chooses his words with their meaning. Shrimmukum Bhagavata, Devu Bhagavata Vindana, and the word Sanjara Vindana, fusion. Learning of Rama as a child, as he is returned to Ayodhya, Bharata resolves to go to the forest and bring back Rama and bring forth